Welcome, and thank you all for standing by. At this time, all participants will be in a listen-only mode until the question-and-answer session at the end of today's presentation. Today's conference is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. During the question-and-answer session, if you would like to ask a question, please hit star one and record your name when prompted. I would like to turn today's conference over to Dr. Lawrence Tabak. You may begin.
Thank you very much, and good afternoon, everybody. This is Larry Tabak. I'm Deputy Director at the National Institutes of Health, and I'd like to thank you all for joining the call today. First, just a quick comment. A number of our colleagues from the NIH have joined the call. If we could ask you to buddy up with colleagues within your respective institutes, that would help because we are very close to approaching the maximum limit of individuals on the line, and we wouldn't want anybody to be frozen out because of lack of lines. Okay, so if you could do that, we'd really appreciate it. We have actually over 300 phones engaged for this afternoon's call on developing a scientific strategic plan for substance use and addiction disorders. Clearly, this is a topic of substantial interest to substance use, abuse, and addiction communities. Now, I know that we've set this up as a webinar. If we can have the next slide, please. I will try and describe what the slides depict for those who might not have access to a computer and are simply on the phone line. I have two goals for today's call. The first is to provide you some background and context, and towards that end, I'll give you a very quick overview of the recommendations that have led us to our current stage. Second, I'll describe the strategy and timeline that we are using for developing a scientific strategic plan for substance use, abuse, and addiction research at NIH. And then finally, we'd like to share with you some very preliminary ideas of some of the new scientific and public health opportunities that we envision. The second and main goal of this webinar is to seek your input on the scientific strategic plan. We are very interested to hear about your ideas, particularly the scientific and public health opportunities that we can better take advantage of. And I would encourage everybody who has joined us on the call today to submit your ideas to the request for information that we currently have open. Obviously, there's no way that we can engage all 306 of you who are currently on the line during the Q&A portion. So if you would avail yourself of the opportunity to use the request for information portal, that would be wonderful. I'd like to emphasize that no decisions have been made about the potential portfolio, and as a result, it would be an enormous help to us to formally receive your input via the RFI. And so I'll try and keep my remaining comments brief so that we can answer as many questions as possible, but I do want to provide you some of this background and context. So the next slide displays the recommendations that were made by the Scientific Management Review Board of the NIH on substance use, abuse, and addiction research. In November of 2010, the SMRB did recommend that we create a new institute focusing on these disciplines, and towards that end, to integrate the relevant research portfolios from the National Institute on Drug Abuse, the National Institute on Alcohol Abuse and Alcoholism, and other relevant institutes and centers, notably the National Cancer Institute. There are also portions of the current portfolios within NIDA and NIAAA that might now be more relevant for research in other institutes and in centers. Now, if we can have the next slide, please. After receiving these recommendations, the NIH leadership carefully considered the findings, held a number of internal discussions with scientific staff here at the agency, and that was derived from the potentially affected institutes and centers. We concluded that we agreed with the SMRB findings and felt that the reorganization could better enable the recognition and the development of scientific opportunities in substance use, abuse, and addiction research, assist in the agency meeting public health needs, and improve training opportunities for the next generation of investigators. But if I can have the next slide, please. Now, at this time, we are interested in identifying what the respective communities view as new scientific opportunities in public health needs that are currently not sufficiently addressed by the agency. As you many of you know, we are soliciting input from both our internal staff and our external stakeholders, including researchers, patient advocacy groups, and the general public. Once we receive this input on new opportunities and needs, we will be able to use that information to inform our assessment of the portfolio that exists amongst the various institutes and centers. We'll develop a draft scientific strategic plan that will integrate the new ideas from the NIH staff, from the various stakeholders in the public, together with existing priorities in substance use, abuse, and addiction research. And the draft plan will be published for a public input period of time. If I could have the next slide, please. This shows the general schedule that we are following through the fall of 2012. This input exercise is going to be conducted in terms of developing a draft scientific strategic plan. We will also complete our internal portfolio analysis and develop a draft portfolio integration plan. Both of these documents will be released in the fall of 2012, and there will then be a public comment period. The final recommendations to the NIH director, which will be informed by all of the analyses that we've done, as well as the public comments, will be provided to the NIH director by the end of the calendar year, December 2012. Our goal is to include in the president's fiscal year 2014 budget the plan for implementing the proposed reorganization. This, in terms of our timeline, would have to occur early in the calendar year of 2013. And then ultimately, it is envisioned that this proposed reorganization would be implemented for the beginning of fiscal year 2014, that is October 2013. We have tentatively, and I emphasize tentatively, draft in capital letters, called this new proposed entity the National Institute of Substance Use and Addiction Disorders, NISUAD, but this is just a placeholder, and I hope that that will not overwhelm the questioning and discussion this afternoon, although I know everybody is passionate about names. The next slide illustrates the same timeline that I just walked you through, but is in visual format for those of you who find it easier to look at Gantt charts. If I can have the next slide. On the next few slides, we've just listed some initial ideas that have emerged from our internal discussions on potential new scientific opportunities and public health needs, and these are listed in the RFI as well, but just to give you a flavor of some of the opportunities that people have been thinking about, develop a compendium of the pharmacokinetic and pharmacodynamic interactions between alcohol and the therapeutics used to treat general medical and psychiatric conditions, understand the mechanisms by which alcohol and other drugs of abuse increase risk for certain diseases, for example, cancer, particularly when used in combinations. If we go to the next slide, improve prevention efforts by developing a better understanding of the patterns and trajectories of drugs of abuse and their influence on brain development. Encourage research to elucidate the impact of using one substance, for example, alcohol, and the likelihood of relapse to other substances. Next slide, please. Encourage patient recognition and utilization of effective substance abuse treatments. Understand the implications of policy changes on substance use patterns and trajectories, particularly in youth. Again, this is just a sampling of a number of suggestions that have been made by our scientific staff here, and all of them are posted on the web, and you can certainly review those and hopefully add to them. The next slide, actually the last slide, is perhaps the most important. Here we list for you the RFI link. The closing date is Friday, May 11th, and we certainly would encourage you to submit all of your ideas and comments formally through the RFI. This link, there's also a link to a feedback page on substance use, abuse, and addiction, where we will provide ongoing updates and information. The slides and audio from this web meeting will also be posted on that site. So if you have to drop off during the call, you'll be able to review things afterwards. Again, I'd like to try and answer as many questions as possible, although given the number of participants, no doubt we'll only be able to do a sampling. I should mention that I have in the room with me Drs. Alan Willard from NINDS, Dr. Lorraine Gunzereth from NIAAA, and Dr. David Shortliff from NIDA, who will be here to assist me with some of the questions. So with that, I'd like to turn it open for the question period, and want to thank you for your attention.
Thank you. We would now like to open the lines for any questions. If anyone does have a question, please hit star 1 and record your name when prompted. Again, it's star 1 to ask a question. Our first question will come from Jack Gallup. Your line is open.
Hello. My question, I'm from Iowa State University here, is if this new institution will fund projects of animal models related to maternal ethanol consumption.
Right. So thank you for the question. Again, the specifics of how the portfolios will be distributed have not yet been decided. And if this is something that you have an opinion about, it would be very helpful to us if you would respond to the RFA detailing whether you think this new institute should or should not. And if it's the latter, what your recommendation would be to, you know, as to where it would be best placed within the institutes and centers at NIH.
Okay.
Thank you. If we can have the next question, please.
Thank you. Next, we have Scott Lucas. Your line is open.
Thank you very much. One of the key issues that is on every researcher's mind is the issue of funding. And I know you haven't decided where particular items will land, and that's actually not my question. What I'm mostly interested in is, what is the strategic plan for funding the overall new institute? And will it start with the premise that the total budget will be the current sum of NIDA and NIAAA?
Right. So there is no premise that it would begin with the total budget of these two institutes because, as I indicated, some things, the majority of things, will go to the new institute, but there may be some things that go out. But in addition, the other calculus that needs to be considered is there will likely be things from other institutes and centers from around the NIH that will go in. Particularly some things from the National Cancer Institute related to the addictive properties of nicotine. And so at this point in time, without a specific portfolio plan, it's very difficult to project what the ultimate budget numbers will be. But in specifically in answer to your question, we're not locked into a simple summation of the current budget of NIDA and NIAAA. We can have the next question, please.
Thank you. Next, we have Dr. Joanne Weinberg. Your line is open.
Thank you. I think that while I was giving my name, this question got asked in one form, but let me just bring it up again. So a major concern I have is that the area of alcohol consumption, alcohol use during pregnancy, is now an extremely strong area within the NIAAA portfolio. And I fear that breaking it up so that the child gets treated or looked at through NICHD and the mother is in the Abuse Institute and so on will seriously compromise this very important area of research. And the concern is that it be kept as a whole.
Right. And so, again, my strong request and recommendation to you would be to express that view by participating in the RFI, and if you could expand upon the scientific reasoning that underlies your comment, that would be enormously helpful to those of us at the agency as we, you know, work through these issues.
Okay, that's great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next, we have Martin Adler. Your line is open.
Thank you. My question relates to the part of NIDA portfolio, and I assume NIAAA portfolio, dealing with HIV and the effects of drugs and alcohol on progression of HIV and the effect on with the drugs. Is it intended that that should remain part of the portfolio of the new institute, since it constitutes not only an important public health area, but also a significant portion of the research that's done in the current institutes?
Right. So there is no question that it is a very important public health area. And what remains to be decided is whether the entire portfolio related to HIV/AIDS research from each of the affected institutes, that is NIDA and AAA, remain, or if in fact we are looking at subsets of that type of research, and again, if you can offer a cogent scientific rationale as to why the extant portfolio should remain intact, other than, you know, it would be convenient, then certainly we would welcome that. One could argue that basic fundamental HIV/AIDS research might be better positioned in juxtaposition to other basic fundamental HIV/AIDS research. That's an alternative view, but certainly and not knowing which side of that fence you are on, whichever side it is, it would be very helpful for you to detail the scientific reasoning behind your position. So we do thank you for that. We have the next question, please.
Thank you. Next, we have Janet Williams. Your line is open.
Hi. Yeah, it appears I'm looking at the RFI, and it appears that tobacco is kind of a throwaway. And so I'm a little, obviously I'll put the concern in any comments, but I'm wondering, do you know what's the feeling about how tobacco is viewed here, and will other agencies, you know, CDC and others, NCI, who have been looking at tobacco, not just the addiction aspect, but certainly the treatment and other and the social focus on tobacco. So what was the view here? Because, as you said, it just seems like a throwaway because it's the last thing on this long list.
So certainly we are absolutely not viewing tobacco as a throwaway, regardless of where it is positioned on the list that you are viewing. Indeed, it is a very, very important issue from a public health standpoint in particular. As to how CDC views this, I can't comment on that at all, but the NCI, which of course is part of the National Institutes of Health, certainly has been very much a part of the conversations that have been ongoing internally. It is understood that the subset of activities that involve the addictive properties of nicotine or tobacco, which are found in NCI as well as NIDA, portfolios that likely would fit very well within this new proposed institute. It is not a throwaway. It is very, very important to the NIH, and it will be treated with great care and concern. Certainly, if you have specific recommendations about this, we would welcome any scientifically based discussion that you might offer as to where placement might ultimately be made. Thanks.
Thank you. Next, we have Michael Lowe. Your line is open.
Yes, thank you. I had a question about the scope of the abuse problems that the new institute is anticipating covering. It seems like it's aiming to cover traditional addictions, addictive drugs, and alcohol. As you know, there are a number of emerging areas where the concept of addiction is increasingly being applied, somewhat controversially in some cases. And I was assuming that the part of the new institute would be to explicitly encourage new research on areas, whether they're substances like food or activities like gambling and so on, that are not well covered by other institutes. Could you comment?
Right. So you are quite correct. There are these emerging fields of inquiry, things like gambling by way of example, and we will be guided by the available science. Neuroscientists are teaching us where there are commonalities amongst these various agents or activities, and where there is a scientific basis that leads us to believe that there would be synergies by placing the various lines of research inquiry in adjacency to one another. We will do that. This would mean, for example, that certain current research that is funded by NIMH or NIDDK, by way of example, could potentially move to this new proposed institute. So we will be going beyond the so-called traditional areas of research. But again, if you or your colleagues on the phone have specific areas that you would like to make the scientific case either for or not, it would really help us if you would take the time to outline those issues as you see them. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next, we have Barbara McCready. Your line is open.
Yes, thank you. I actually have, I'll just ask one question. I was curious, I'd like to hear something about the budgetary analysis of the cost of the creation of the new institute and at what point that information will be available to us.
So we proceed with these types of exercises with the goal of having them be budget neutral. This is not a cost-saving exercise. We do not view this. We're not doing this because we're trying to save money. Ultimately, in years to come, perhaps there is some savings realized due to economies of scale, But certainly that is not the case initially. And so it's difficult to project at this point in time. There no doubt will be movement of personnel, and as we have done for the most recent reorganization, we allow the function to follow the form, meaning that if a particular portfolio moves into the new institute, those individuals, or at least a subset of them, with the requisite content expertise, will follow the portfolio. Now, as I'm sure is the case in your institution, many of our colleagues here at NIH multitask, and it's a little hard to divide up a person. And so, you know, at some level, we have to, you know, make some decisions as to where folks go. But in general, we will have the science and the positioning of the various portfolios, research portfolios, drive where ultimately the personnel with the requisite content expertise will go. If we could have the next question, please.
Thank you. Next, we have Jane Aldrich. Your line is open.
Yes, I have two questions. The first one has to do with pain research, which has been part of NIDA. Will that remain in the institute and the new institute? And the second question, NIDA also has a medications development division. What will be the balance between translational and basic research in the new institute?
Right. So with regard to the former question, it remains to be determined whether fundamental research related to pain mechanisms will remain in the proposed new institute. Certainly, the collateral issues related to medications used for pain management, particularly opioids, I would imagine would remain part of the new institute, but basic fundamental research on pain mechanisms, that's something that needs to be addressed. And certainly if you have a feeling about that one way or the other, it would be great if you could let us know, again, citing the, you know, scientific underpinnings of your position. With regard to the second question, as you know, we at NIH feel very strongly that we have to balance our basic research portfolio with efforts to turn those basic discoveries into tangibles that help our patients. And I have no doubt that the new proposed institute will engage in translational activities, but it would be premature to speculate what the percentages would be NIH-wide. As you no doubt know, we do a little bit over half of our investment in basic research and then the remaining in applied slash translational effort. And so it's not, you know, inconceivable that the new institute would have a somewhat similar distribution, but it would be premature to speculate what that ultimate distribution would be at this time. If we could have the next question, please.
Thank you. Next, we have Susan Barron. Your line is open.
Hi. Yes, this is related to budget as well. And while I appreciate that the NIH is talking about this as cost neutral, I'm not sure the people that decide the budget for NIH think that way. And I'm a little concerned about the timing, and I wanted to hear what you had to say. As they're looking for ways to save money in such tight financial times, is this the best time to do this sort of thing?
Well, so again, I appreciate the concern that you are raising. Obviously, we are in close discussion with our colleagues on the Hill about this, as well as our colleagues at the Department of Health and Human Services. Again, we have never viewed this or presented this in the context of budgetary savings, only in the context of increased synergy to enhance the science. I think that it is well accepted that these disciplines are crucially important from a public health standpoint, I think that given that appreciation, I am not as concerned as your comment, indicates that you are about this. But certainly, as we go forward and continue with the more detailed plans that will emerge, hopefully that will be reassuring to the various communities when you're able to, you know, do the math. But I do thank you for raising that issue. If we can have the next one question, please.
Thank you. Next, we have Dr. John Gardine. Your line is open.
Hello. I'm representing the Western States node of NIDA's Clinical Trials Network, and my question is whether discussions regarding this new institute have included direct conversations about the Clinical Trials Network, and what, if any, role you see the CTN playing and this as it moves forward.
Right. So we have not gotten to that level of granularity yet. But again, thinking back to the question that was raised earlier about the relative balance between basic research and translational efforts, I am certain that the new institute will have a very significant presence in clinical trials work. Again, how that ultimately shapes in the future, I can't predict. The view going forward is that the existing programs remain. We don't overnight shut anything down or stand anything up. This occurs through evolution, and so. No program will overnight be suspended if that is a concern. But longer term, certainly, I would be very surprised that if clinical trials were not part of the new institute that is proposed. If we could have the next question, please.
Thank you. Our next question is from Bill Dewey. Your line is open.
Yes, sir. Thank you. I'm concerned about what has been thought about so far or decided about the intramural program of this new institute. Will it be a combination of the present institutes? Will it bring people in from other institutes? Or will it depend on what the general conversation is about the total portfolio?
Right. So I think ultimately it depends on the conversation about the total portfolio. Interestingly enough, as we have gone through this process, informally, the two intramural programs of NIDA and NIAAA have actually grown much closer together from a functional standpoint. I think they have decided that they each have strengths that they bring to the table and that these strengths are complementary to one another. And I think it's a great credit to the scientific directors of the two institutes that they've been willing and able to work so closely together to come up with a functionally more integrated program way before any formal reorganization is implemented. As to the final view of this, that remains to be determined, but they have, function is driving this, and then they have already decided that this makes perfect sense and are well on the road to, a functional integration. We can have the next question, please.
Thank you. Next, we have Sherry Darren. Your line is open.
Oh, hi. Thank you. And I think part of my question was raised while I was putting in my name. But I, too, was interested in and concerned about HIV and hepatitis C as two, infectious diseases highly related to substance use, both in, in terms of cause, in terms of impact on treatment. And I wondered what was going, what the thought was about that in the portfolio. And a second question was that you're going to have an enormous task, obviously, in getting all of this input in terms of really deciding what the form will be in this new agency. And I wonder if you could share a little with us about what the process is going to be for how the decisions will be made to go ahead.
Right. So with regard to the former question, actually your comments really underscore the type of process and thinking that we would go through to begin to understand what would go where. In an instance where substance use had a direct impact on an end stage organ, you can make the argument that it would make sense if that was unique to that specific agent. Alternatively, if a number of different agents got you to the same place, or if the work was really fundamental in nature, and really just because of historical reasons, found a home that was grouped with other seemingly like things, but because of how science has evolved over the years, the juxtaposition of that work made less and less sense as time went on, then those are sorts of things that you would envision being moved to other institutes or centers at NIH. In terms of the decision-making process, really what we do is we carefully consider all of the comments. For those of you who were aware of the recent reorganization at NIH where the NCRR was dissolved and their programs were distributed amongst different institutes and centers, I think you will know that indeed there is good evidence that we took into consideration the comments because we issued an initial model and then ultimately made some changes based on the public input that we received. And so we really are informed by the public input, and that helps guide the scientific staff here at NIH, who ultimately will make a recommendation to the NIH director, Dr. Collins, who has the final say, of course, as director. We will continue to do this in a purposeful way. We will try to be guided by science. In instances where the science hasn't caught up to the issue, hopefully we'll be able to use a good dose of common sense as well. So thank you for that question, and if we could have the next one, please.
Thank you. Mark Goldman, your line is open.
Yeah, hi. We seem to be talking about issues relating to the construction of the new institute in terms of the particular combination of existing portfolios, but I doubt that the existing portfolios will fully avail themselves of the synergies or fully represent the synergies that could take place. So I'm wondering how we're going to get to the new things that this institute will do. Are they going to be left to the new director, or will there be some sort of advanced statement of the kinds of things the institute will look to including that don't necessarily perfectly match the existing portfolios?
Well, certainly the planning period where we are asking for input about a scientific strategic plan that could be envisioned for this new institute would very much inform exactly what you have just suggested. The hope would be that the scientific community, the stakeholders, experts, would be able to rapidly identify those things that currently are not being done, that do represent new opportunity, that do represent compelling vision for the way forward. In a practical standpoint, as we envision a relatively flat budget scenario for the next few years, just based on all the tea leaves that we are all reading, from a practical standpoint, implementation of that will require redirection of funds from programs that are undergoing natural attrition. As you all well know, I'm sure on the call, our portfolio turns over roughly 20 to 25% every year. It just depends on the year. And so there is a natural turnover, a natural attrition that allows one the opportunity to make new investments. The hope is, and this is why we are working so hard at this new scientific strategic plan, would be to identify the most compelling opportunities that would allow for an immediate initial investment in some of these areas to be followed up hopefully in the future as resources allow with additional investments. So it will not be, status quo. I should also pick up on another point that you've raised, and that is that there will be a search for a new director of this new institute. There will be a international search. But I don't think that it would make a whole lot of sense to just wait in stasis until that individual is identified and appointed. And hence why we think that this scientific strategic planning exercise is very worthwhile and important. If we could have the next question, please.
Thank you. Next, we have Deb Bowen. Your line is open.
Sorry for the delay. This is Renee Johnson, actually, at BU, Boston University. So based on the stated priorities, I know you said they weren't exhaustive, as well as the response to some of the questions, it appears that there's a strong emphasis on biomedical research. So my question is, what's the balance between biomedical research with social science research and prevention science research, including things like treatment, adolescent health, and attention to vulnerable populations and health disparities? I was also interested, this is the second question, about special populations offices in both of the institutes. How will your commitment to diverse new researchers be? Thanks.
Right. So with regard to the former question, as you are well aware, the current portfolios of both NIDA and AAA, and for that matter, the NCI in the area of tobacco addiction are very strong and have great representation in terms of social sciences research and behavioral research. And given the area of interest and the fields, there's no reason to think that commitment will diminish in any way. As you point out, both of these institutes have offices related to special populations, and again, because of the unique issues, particularly related to health disparities, I can't imagine how we would not continue that going forward. We could have the next question, please.
Thank you. Next, we have Andrew Bergen. Your line is open.
Thank you, Dr. Tabak. My question was about when we might expect guidance from the new institute that would allow us to understand any differences between recent guidance, for example, that's been released on human genetics research by NIDA, and what would apply to this new institute.
Right. So, again, the plan, if all goes according to plan, would be to stand up this new proposed institute in fiscal year 14, which would be October of 2013. As you know, we have this peculiar system in the federal government in terms of budget year. In the interim, you should follow the extant guidance. You should not try and guess any change going forward. Parenthetically, we certainly need input on the advances that are occurring in genetics, and if you are so inclined, it would be most helpful as we do the planning looking forward, if you would respond to the RFI related to this issue, because as genetics as a field advances dramatically, given the special nature of the populations that are being looked at and so forth, any input that you could offer to us would be greatly appreciated. Thank you. If we could have the next question, please.
Thank you. Next, we have Carl Hill. Your line is open.
Hi, this is Kevin Haggerty for Carl Hill, and the question we have is about the commitment to prevention, though we see it in the RFI as not a strong priority, and I think that the question was asked and answered previously, so thank you.
Okay, thank you. Yes, it was a little hard to hear, but yes, the prevention, no doubt we'll be continue to be committed to that as a field, given the import to the disciplines represented. If we can have the next question, please.
Our next question comes from Lauren Schulman. Your line is open.
Yes, the question really has been answered in terms of the behavioral research emphasis, but I did want to make a comment if I could. As someone who's had to consider whether to submit some behavioral research to either NIDA or NIAAA, when it was clear to me it could fit in either of these two agencies, I think the integration is a good idea.
Great. Thank you. If we could have the next question, please.
Next, we have David Shanahoff-Kalsa. Your line is open.
Hello. I'm calling from the University of California, San Diego, and I'm wondering what the interest is at this point, or how open the new institute would be to employing or funding more work towards the alternative and complementary approaches towards treatment and prevention. In the past, I've used Kundalini Yoga meditation techniques for treating OCD, and we've been super successful as published data. And there's actually a yogic technique specific for treating the addictions. And I actually lectured on that at NIDA in October of 2010, and the title was Kundalini Yoga Meditation Techniques Specific for the Addictions, OCD, Impulse Control Disorders, and Compulsive Behavior. Dr. Shurtleff was kind enough to invite me based on my scientific achievements, and I'm wondering if this area of focus would be something that would be important or whether it would be sort of shuttled out to NCAM.
Well, I think it's premature to speculate what areas at this level of granularity would be emphasized or given priority to. But certainly, as is true with all of NIH, we balance scientific opportunity with the public health need. And certainly some of the conditions that you have referred to are preeminent in their public health need, and those individuals who have possible interventions that can redress those issues certainly are given consideration. And additionally, as you point out, we do have a center in CAM that is uniquely devoted to complementary and alternative medical approaches. And so either way, the types of approaches are certainly are covered. But I think it would be premature to say with any definition that yes or no, this specific approach would find favor within the new institute. Next question, I guess. Last question. Yeah.
Thank you. Our last question comes from Kenneth Lennard. Your line is open.
Thank you. A lot of the discussion is focused around sort of implicitly, at least, the common effects of multiple drugs and substances. And I'm wondering whether there's going to be any structural or other way of ensuring that there's a balance in looking at the unique effects of specific drugs as opposed to common elements.
So I think that, as is the case now, a good portion of the portfolios of the respective institutes do look at single molecular entities and their effect, although, as you no doubt well know, in many instances our patients use multiple agents. But no, I think there is no preconceived pathway here where only multiple usages are favored, and as long as a good scientific a basis can be made for studying a single entity, that that will continue to find a favor. So I think with that, we have either exhausted you or we've answered all of your questions, although I find that hard to believe. So I would just like to close by again thanking you all for participating today. The questions were very, very helpful. It gives us insights into what people among stakeholders are thinking. And I would urge you in the strongest possible way to contribute your ideas and your thoughts to the RFI, which, again, is on the last page of the webinar. It's horrible to say web names over a phone. So if you just go to the NIH homepage on the feedback portion of the NIH homepage, you will find the site to the RFI very quickly. And again, thank you all very much, and we look forward to continuing these important discussions.
Thank you all for participating in today's conference. You may disconnect your line and have a great day.